Opioid addiction has been getting a lot of press lately. I'll just lay out a few facts to prove the point. Firstly, deaths from prescription opioids have now surpassed the deaths from heroin. Number two, opioid use disorder has risen 500% from 2010 to 2016 in America. Number three, in America, for the first time in history, the Surgeon General sent a letter to every single doctor in the country. That's over 2 million doctors. And the letter was a summary of the recommendations on opioid prescribing from the CDC. I'll go over these recommendations at the end, but given that this is the only letter sent to every doctor in the history of America, I think it points to the importance of this issue. This week, we look into a study that asked the question, when handing a patient a script for opioids for the first time, what is the chance that they will become a chronic user? It also asks, is there something that a doctor can do when giving a patient their first opioid prescription to reduce the risk of them becoming a chronic user? Let's take a look. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Evidence-Based Medicine Podcast, where every week we delve into a landmark clinical trial in medicine. I'm Daniel Aronoff, and this week, a really great observational trial that tried to assess what are the chances that a first-time prescription of opiates will lead to chronic use, and what factors are associated with a higher chance of chronic use. So, the issue is that opiates are a damn good drug. They can really be a lifesaver in terms of pain management, and the good thing about them is that they can be used in patients with kidney disease or peptic ulcer disease when other painkillers, like NSAIDs, can't. The scary thing about them, though, is that some people become dependent. I always have this strong fear in the back of my mind whenever I hand over an opiate script, like, oh no, am I going to ruin this patient's life forever? So it is with open arms that I welcome this paper that we'll be discussing today. It lets us know exactly what the chances are that my patient will become a chronic user if I give them their first opiate script. And then, if they come back for another script, the study will tell me the chance of chronic use after the second script, the third, etc. So here's how they did it. The state of Oregon in the USA has what's called a prescription drug monitoring program, where they can track and monitor all prescriptions for controlled substances. Firstly, this is brilliant because clinicians can use this data to see if a patient is drug seeking. In Australia, we rely on doctors to report to a doctor shopper line. And then if a doctor is suspicious of a new drug seeking patient, they can call the doctor shopper line to see if any other doctors have reported the patient. But this relies on doctor reporting, so there's a lot of problems with it. The other reason why this monitoring program is amazing is that it creates an unbelievable amount of great data on opioid use. So, the authors of this study use this data in a really genius way. They looked at every single patient in this data set who filled an opiate script but were otherwise opiate naive. So, how did they know that the patient was opiate naive? Well, they classified someone as being opiate naive if they hadn't filled a script for opiates for 12 months prior to this first script being filled. Alright, so 500,000 patients fit this description during the period of 2012 to 2013. It was 536,767 to be exact. So they then checked how many of these became chronic users. And they defined that as someone who filled six or more scripts for opiates over the subsequent 12-month period. The opiates they included were analgesics, antitussives, and migraine medication. They had to exclude tramadol and buprenorphine-naloxone combinations because they were not included in the prescription drug monitoring program during the years of 2012 and 2013. And this was all outpatient prescriptions, so it didn't include opiates dispensed in the hospital. They wanted to exclude people who were prescribed opiates with the intention of being a long-term prescription, like those with cancer pain or other palliative care patients, because that would skew the results. We want to know how many people became long-term users when we didn't want them to be long-term users. The problem they had, though, is that this data set didn't include the patient's diagnosis. All they knew about was their opiate use. So to get around this, they excluded patients who died within 1 year of this first opiate prescription, thinking that those people were more likely to be prescribed for palliative reasons. They also excluded anyone under the age of 11 because they are thought to be at low risk of chronic use and because this age group would mostly be prescribed opiates in the form of antitussive medications. Another issue they had with the data was that all they had to work with was the number of pills prescribed and the dose of the pills. So they couldn't work out from that whether it was a PRN prescription or whether they were prescribed to take 2 tablets per day or 5 tablets per day. And this would be pretty useful because then they could say, if you prescribe patients this dose of opiates, their risk of chronic use is such and such. But if you prescribe them this dose, the risk goes up to so and so. Unfortunately, they couldn't do that. But they could do something similar. A good marker of what dose they were using was how many times they refilled a script within the first 30 days of this first script. So they know the dose of the pill and the amount of pills that were prescribed, and now they know how long it took them to refill the script. So they could use that to figure out what dose they were using. All right, what did they find? So, there were close to 900,000 patients who received an opiate prescription between 2012 to 2013, of which about 500,000 did not fill a prescription for opiates in the 12 months prior, and so were deemed to be opiate naive. Of these, 26,785 became long-term opiate users, which equates to 5%. So, a quick little bottom line, 5% of patients who are prescribed an opiate for the first time will become a chronic user. All right, so 85% of these first prescriptions were combinations of opiates with paracetamol. In Australia, we have a combination product of paracetamol and codeine known as Panadeine or Panadeine Forte. America seemed to have a lot more of these combinations, though. They have acetaminophen and hydrocodone, acetaminophen and oxycodone, as well as acetaminophen and codeine like we do. They also found, as you can imagine, that the more repeat fills they had in the first 30 days after the initial prescription, the more likely they were to become chronic users. So if they just filled that first script in the first 30 days, then their risk of chronic use was 2.9%, but it became 10% if they had another refill in the first 30 days, and 26% if they had 4 or more refills in the first 30 days. Now, here is possibly the most interesting finding of the entire study. Those who were started on long-acting opiates or extended-release opiates had a much higher chance of chronic use than those started on short-acting opiates. It was 25% versus 3.5%. And part of this could be because doctors who are prescribing the long-acting opiates are doing so because they want the patient to be on them long-term, but maybe long-acting opiates are more addictive. It's impossible to tease that out from this data. I certainly thought that short-acting would be worse, because, you know, you're stimulating that immediate gratification and activating that reward pathway. So this came as a big surprise to me. All right, so what's the bottom line? Well, there is a 5% risk that a patient will become a chronic opioid user after being given their first script for an opioid medication. The likelihood of long-term use increases greatly as the number of script refills within the first 30 days increases, from 2.9% with just one opioid script refill to 26% if they filled 4 or more. So there you have it, a nice little way to talk to patients when prescribing them their first opioid script, obviously if there's no other options. Now, I mentioned earlier that for the first time ever, the Surgeon General sent out a letter to every single doctor in America with a list of recommendations on opioid prescribing from the CDC. I thought I'd share some of these for the non-American listeners because, as you can imagine, these are an excellent set of recommendations. Firstly, non-opioid therapy should be used first line. Secondly, when prescribing opiates, establish realistic treatment goals with the patient. Thirdly, use immediate release preparations rather than extended release versions. 4, use the lowest dose possible for the shortest amount of time. Do not prescribe more than 50 milligrams morphine equivalents per day, which is about 35 milligrams of oxycodone per day. And they recommend 90 milligrams of morphine equivalents per day should be the absolute most prescribed, which is about 60 milligrams of oxycodone. And they say if you're using more than this, you should really get specialist input. Avoid using opiates and benzos together. And they also recommend treating patients with opioid use disorder with methadone or buprenorphine. Alrighty, that's it from me. Please follow me on Twitter at Dr. Aronov. Check out my YouTube videos, youtube.com/DrDanMD, D-R-D-A-N-M-D. All the references and show notes will be at www.ebmpodcast.com. Next week, we have a very special guest. Professor Paul Glasziou will join me to discuss antibiotics for otitis media. That's next week. I'm Daniel Aronov. I'll talk to you then.